Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And then Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, that Ian has already, or Sarah has already, read for us this morning. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, some weeks ago, I believe in a word of prophecy. That means a word that we feel God has given us. I feel God challenged us as a church to be a church that builds a throne for Jesus. I don't know if you remember that word or not, but it's stuck in my heart. And it's something that I feel God wants us to unpack a little bit more. I felt that God was saying to us as a church that he doesn't want us to build a small throne, but that he wants us to build a massive throne for Jesus. In other words, that means that Jesus will be massively exalted and lifted up here at LifeSpring Church. Does it mean that we employ Robert to go to the DIY store and find the material to build a big throne here at the front on which Jesus would symbolically be sitting? No, I don't think so. I think there are other materials that as a church we need to use in which to place Jesus right here at the center, centrally prominent, enthroned right at the very center of LifeSpring Church. And that means, enthroning Jesus means that we make him famous, that we exalt him, that in our midst, honoring Jesus is more important than honoring any other institution, any other person, any other created thing on the face of this earth. God is calling LifeSpring Church to enthrone Jesus, not just in our words, but in reality. And so the question this morning is, well, how do we do that? And I want to give you five words this morning that we will unpack over the coming months. There are five words. These are the material, if you like, of building a throne for Jesus in your life individually and in our lives as a church. This applies individually and it applies corporately. Number one is the word worship. Number two is the word serve. Number three is the word send. And I want to concentrate a little bit on that one this morning. Number four is the word love. And number five is the word obey. So first of all, in brief, God wants us to build a worshiping church. As we read this morning, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. I believe that a worshiping church lifts up Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the Savior of the world, as the one who gives life, as the one who fills us with the Holy Spirit, as the one who empowers us for witness and for mission. When we worship, we focus on God and not on ourselves. Worship is not about making us happy, it's about honoring God. You may have read recently how the Osteens in America, a huge church in America, Victoria Osteen stood up and she said, worship is not about God, it's about us. It's about making us happy. I don't believe that for one moment. I believe that worship needs to focus on God. Worship needs to focus on making God happy. Not that we're going to make him happy, he's happy already. But we need to focus on God because the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. It doesn't say love yourself, it says love God, and then it says love your neighbor as yourself. So we have to consciously fix our minds on God. And you know the words of the songs here on Sunday morning and the demeanor of the worship team all help us to do that. It's important that we're singing songs about God, or rather to God, not songs about ourselves or to ourselves. Let's be careful that we're not just singing about us. So that's the first thing. A worshiping church will help to build an incredible throne for Jesus here at LifeSpring Church. Number two, God wants us to build a serving church, because the Bible also says not only to love God, it says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. A serving church lifts up Jesus. In 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11, the Bible says, each of you, and that's quite a few of you here this morning, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Not that you may be praised, or I may be praised, or the church may be praised. We serve. We make our gifts available to God and to the church so that God may be praised, that God may be lifted up, and that we may build a throne for Jesus, that he may be loved and honored and worshipped and made famous in this whole area. So over the coming months, I want you to think about what is your gift, number one, and number two, how can you make it available to serve your brothers and sisters, to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So that's the second thing, is a serving church. And now I come to, I suppose, what fits into what Ian and Sarah have been talking about this morning, ascending church. One of the verses of the Bible this morning said to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I believe that ascending church lifts up Jesus. It's essential material. Ascending, a going church, is essential material for building a throne for Jesus Christ. You know, the Holy Spirit is the commander-in-chief of missions. We have to remember that. It's the Holy Spirit who is the commander-in-chief of missions, and he's the one who identifies in the first place, who recognizes those that he wants to send. And we must understand that, and the church has to learn to recognize the role of the Holy Spirit in sending our missionaries. But we must never minimize the importance and the place of the local church, because apart from the Holy Spirit, no other person or organization ought to have as much influence over the direction and decisions of missionaries as the local sending church. And over the last couple of years, we've been working with Ian and Sarah, because we've had three responsibilities as a church, and we find these responsibilities outlined in Acts of the Apostles chapter 13, where the church at Antioch recognized Paul and Barnabas, and the apostles and the prophets there sent them out as missionaries. And the first responsibility of the local church has to do with recognition. In Acts chapter 13 verse 2, the Holy Spirit Remember, this came from the Holy Spirit. It didn't come from men having good ideas. The Holy Spirit commanded the church to separate Paul and Barnabas. The idea conveyed is that the church leaders must be in tune with the Holy Spirit in order to recognize when God's hand has been placed upon certain individuals to perform a certain task. And this is done when the church is a praying church, when the church is a fasting church, when the church is in tune with the Holy Spirit. Because it is very easy to miss the voice of God when God is identifying a number of people to go on mission. And the elders of this church and the church council has recognized the call of God on Ian and Sarah to go and do Bible translation work and generally to make a contribution to the work of Wycliffe in Cambodia and in Southeast Asia. So that's the first thing, is there's got to be a recognition of what the Holy Spirit is saying. The second principle is also demonstrated in Acts 13, and it is one of identification. Verse 3 mentions that the leaders of the church laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas. And throughout the Bible, the idea of laying on of hands has symbolized the idea of identification. What it's saying is, we are identifying, what they were saying is, we are identifying with Paul and Barnabas. They are our missionaries. They are partnering with us in this missionary venture. They are saying they are not an independent, standalone, go-it-alone missionary venture. They are saying we are throwing our lot in with them. We are supporting them. We are going to pray with them. We are going to protect them. And we are going to help to finance them. The church here at LifeSpring is throwing its lot in with, identifying with, our recognized missionaries, Ian and Sarah Hudson. And in a couple of weeks' time, we will lay hands on them and we will send them out. And in Acts 13, following the laying on of hands, those two partners in mission would be forever united together in the task of sending the gospel of Jesus Christ to the furthest parts of the world. And that's what LifeSpring is saying, that we are identifying with Ian and Sarah. We are throwing our lot in with them, and we will forever be identified with them in sending the gospel out from this small town in North Nottinghamshire to the ends of the earth, because we are a local church with a global vision. Amen? That's the second principle, is the principle of identification. We recognize them, we identify with them, we throw our lot in with them. And then the third principle, also in Acts 13, is that of releasing. Verse 3 mentions that after the church at Antioch recognized God's call upon their lives and identified themselves with their ministry, that they sent them away. They let them go. They didn't hold on to them. They released them from local church responsibilities. And so in a couple of weeks' time, we will release Ian and Sarah from all responsibilities here in this church. And this morning, Sarah is serving in the kitchen afterwards. Sarah, you will be released. Okay. And I am sure that by the grace of God, as you go, God will raise up others to come in and to take your place. Amen. So there are three responsibilities on our part, and I pray that you will join us in prayer, that we may carry out our responsibilities dutifully and before God and with all earnestness and seriousness, that we recognize this lovely couple, that we identify fully with them, and that we send them out on their way to their missionary task. The missionaries, on the other hand, they also have a responsibility to respond to the call of the Holy Spirit, which they have done, but also to honor and be fully accountable to their sending church. There is a mutual recognition that theirs is not an independent standalone mission. This is a partnership in the gospel in which there is mutual respect and mutual submission. And so, as we finish today, we're going to invite Ian and Sarah to come forward. And the first thing we're going to do with them is we're going to receive them into ministry leadership within LifeSpring Church. And they will be sent out as leaders of LifeSpring Church when they eventually go. So that's number three, is ascending church. Number four, I'll come to this in a number of weeks' time, is a loving church. It says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because a loving church, a church that is united by love, is going to be a church that lifts up and exalts Jesus. A church that doesn't major on the minor things, that's going to lift up Jesus. A church that practices unconditional love is going to lift up Jesus. In Romans 15, verse 7, Paul says, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Again, praise to God, lifting up God, comes from love and unity within the church. Christ showed us unconditional love, non-judgmental. And so in this church, nobody's acceptance is based on your performance. You were accepted unconditionally. And then in verse 13, Paul goes on to say there are four marks of a united church. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the four marks of a united church are joy, peace, hope, and power. Joy, peace, hope, and power. Now that's the kind of church that I want to be part of, and I'm sure that you do as well. Now, no church is a perfect church, but it can be a healthy church. And I believe that LifeSpring is a healthy church. Any church that can do the kind of things that we are doing, make lunch, opening a CAP center, sending missionaries out, has to be a healthy church. And it's got to continue to be a healthy church with a lot of support from its members, because there's a lot riding on your individual contribution. And the last thing is an obedient church. You know, teaching them, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. An obedient church lifts up Jesus. I'll leave that one until another time. So in conclusion, I believe that God is challenging us as a church to exalt Jesus and to build a throne here at LifeSpring for Jesus Christ. And the five ingredients, the raw material that comes out of your commitment and your enthusiasm to build that church, are worship, a worshiping church, a serving church, a sending church, a loving church, and an obedient church. And so let's make sure that we understand what God is asking us to do, and that we put our hearts and souls and minds into a church here in which Jesus is exalted and lifted up, so that we do actually achieve what God is asking us to do, to build a massive throne for Jesus Christ here at LifeSpring Church. I pray that God will bless this message to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.